Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
Can you sing, David?
I have a voice that only mother would love. Let's put it this way.
Oh, I can't believe that.
I can sing a couple of notes, yes. But if you ask me to sing a song, it just peters out and dissolves and disappears into nothingness.
Oh, I don't believe that. You got that baritone there. You can train that instrument. I know you can.
Well, let's just say it's not trained.
Thank you so much, David Maria, for being here on the edge with me and my brains, the place where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Brains, we have David Maria here. He's from Weed, California. This is weed, not the one you smoke, but where you live, California. It's really interesting. He has an amazing story. He had a life transformation experience that set him on a different spiritual path, one where he was with very sacred tribes, very sacred individuals, an out-of-body experience. What is he doing with that? What is he pouring into others, and how are they growing from his experience is what we're going to talk about on the edge. It's David Maria, and he is from the Eden Temple. Welcome, David.
Thank you, April. It's actually the Eden Template.
Is it the Eden Template? Okay, yes. Let me do that again. Okay. I'll count you in on three. One, two, three. Brains, let us welcome David Maria from the Eden Template.
Thank you, April. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while.
I've been looking forward to it too. I've met some people that have spoken very highly of you. They said that you are from another scene. So tell me a little bit about you.
Well, you could consider to be an elderly gentleman, because I'm well into my 70s and looking forward to many more. You wanted to know a little bit about how I came to what I currently carry, and that was in 2018. I was called through a series of dreams that all turned out to be prophetic, and every single one of them came true, by the way, that I was called to go to Africa. Africa was not on my personal radar at all. Deep love for Africa, yes, but not on a personal level. And when I went there, we figured out that we were being called for the annual prayer walk, which circumambulates around Mount Kenya every year. It's been going on for centuries, actually much longer than centuries. And when we got there, I was introduced to the seer or the shaman that was going to do the invocation for everybody. And he was the man from my dreams. And he smiled at me and said, "David, I dreamt of you." And I smiled back at him and said, "Samuel, I dreamt of you." His name is Samuel Kamitha. And he's one of 12 seers within the Kituyu people of Kenya. Kenya has a lot of different tribes. There's like 42 different tribal cultures within Kenya, and the Kituyu people are the largest in terms of numbers.
And he sought you out. Then what happened?
He gave my friends and myself, after the invocation, he gave myself and my friends a blessing. Only when it came time to give me a blessing, he heard his spirit say, "No, give him everything."
Wow.
And it was literally like being struck by lightning 5 or 6 times in a very short period of time. My body was just jolted. And over the course of the next few weeks, I received the transmission that I now know is the Eden template, which is the first activation that I now share with people publicly. And it has completely and totally transformed my life.
Okay, what does that mean? Now, were you in a quandary before you went there? Was your life a bit reckless or in chaos? Mm-hmm. Were you seeking a spiritual awakening? Were you, is it part of trauma? I'm just really trying to create a framework here.
Yeah, no, I understand. You know as well as I do, we all carry trauma. I've not met a human being yet that doesn't. And it may not be from this life, because we are multi-life, multi-dimensional beings, all of us. And we can carry trauma that is unresolved from numerous lifetimes that are not active at this moment. Mm-hmm. But I was very calm. I was living in a small town on the coast of Oregon, way smaller than where I live now, only about 700 people. And I was quite calm, just very content to live there. Was still, I used to build websites for a living, and that's what I was doing. I was content and happy. And then this calling came, and it has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Because it's not just that I went to Kenya. It's not just that I was seen. It's not just that I was accepted. It's that there is something that has happened inside of me, and it demands. It doesn't let me not share it. It wants to be shared. And so I share this with as many people as come.
Okay. Questions number two. You share this. You speak ambiguously. So what I'm trying to find out, is this a gift of, you know, is it a gift of seeing? Is it a gift of prophesizing? Is it a gift of healing? Is it a gift of wisdom? Is it a religious text and a religious doctrine?
No religion, no doctrine, but it is all of the other above, most definitely. So when the transmission, after I received this transmission from Spirit, then I returned home and I sat in my living room for 3 months, just integrating it. I was kind of non-functional. All I was doing was just letting it flow through me and integrate in me. Now that it's fully integrated, when I work with people, I'm able to reconnect them directly to Source or to God or whatever word it is that you want to use. To me, it doesn't matter what the word is. Whatever we call God, it's unnameable. It's ineffable. It can't be described. You can't put a word on it. But I'm able to open the connection that we all have directly to Source, that is located to the base of their spine, and begin to let that energy move through their body. I'm able to restore their original connection to their Godhead.
Okay. Question number three. Touch. Is this through touch? Is this through Reiki? Is this through meditation? Is this through sound frequencies? And also, I'm looking behind you, and it looks, and I'm just trying to frame it, some sort of altar or deity or place of worship or sacrifice or, homage. I don't know. Explain those two for me.
So this is basically an altar. It's the things that I love that have deep meaning for me, that have come to me over the years. And so, like, for instance, I have candles burning. I always burn candles. There are statues here of Kuan Yin, which is the Chinese goddess of compassion. She's another aspect of Mother Mary, just from the Orient. My last name, Maria, was given to me by Mother Mary. She came to me in a dream and asked me to take her name, so I did. This is the course itself, the first level course, is done through a meditation, a guided meditation. But it's not the meditation, it's not the words that are spoken, it's the energetic transmission that comes through while the words are being spoken.
Mm, okay.
And that is what really does the work in terms of opening people up.
Okay. So now that you open them up, what are you pouring into them?
the very essence of who I am can be described right here. It's all heart. It's all heart. And it's not that I'm pouring into them because it's not personal to me. It's that they're opening themselves up to receive the natural gifts that are already there when you begin to open yourself up. When you begin to align yourself with your creator, everything changes.
Right. So would some people look at this as metaphysical? Because it is beyond written text. You say that it is not actually, you know, a touchy-feely, but it's more of a meditation. So it's a sort of mind indulgence. Would you agree to that?
I would say that it's more heart indulgence, because what the meditation does is it begins to align your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, and your spiritual body.
Is that also with your chakras, or this is something totally different?
It's an adjunct to that.
Okay.
It's in addition to that. It does open up the energy centers that line along our spine. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the word chakra, simply because everybody has heard the word and they know what it means, even if they haven't experienced what it is. So,
I've had mine aligned, adjusted, twisted, out of sorts. I know about a chakra. Brains, I think my brains know what a chakra is, or the alignment or misalignment of that. Okay, David, so now you come back down from the mountain, and you with these Africans, you're a white man living in a small conservative town, and you come back and talk about the spiritual awakening that you found in a dream. And this is what your life calling is going to be, and you are going to pour this into other people for healing. What did your friends and family say?
Depends upon which friend and which family you're talking about. For the friends that I have?
Well, okay, two friends. How about the friends that you went on the spiritual quest with? Did they get a shot of this as well?
They did.
They did? So they're also recipients of this download, of this transmission?
In their own way, yes.
Wow.
And several people, some have been on your show, like Wanda Vitale.
Mm-hmm.
Several people knew that we were all going, and I invited them to come with me. They tuned in to the prayer walk at that time frame, and they received the transmission also.
Oh, wow.
So it's universally available if you can tap into it.
Right, but everybody's not going to be on that same frequency now. You know, everybody's not going to get to 5D, and everybody is not worthy necessarily of the blessing. To whom much is given, much is required, David. You know that, and I know that. Everybody can't handle something like this. Some people would have a nervous breakdown. I'm being real. True. You know, a lot of times when people talk about your spirituality or being touched by spirit, source, God, whatever it is, a lot of times people look at them with a side eye and say, you know what, I don't know, maybe this might be some mental illness, because it is, and you know what, I'm saying that real, because the first time it happened to me, and I started speaking in tongues, and I really felt the Lord just envelop my soul, I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how to process that. Even you had to sit in your house for 3 months to figure it out. So it's a lot to interject. So what do you say to the person that, you know, is a little skeptical? They want to experience this, but they're afraid.
I can say that the activation is very gentle. It universally, everybody that receives it comes away with the feeling of being more at peace with themselves, more still, gentler inside of themselves, less worry. They come into the cells. And I laugh when you talk about, you know, maybe going a little crazy, because when I was sitting in my living room, my next door neighbor was not certain, they were positive, but I had a psychotic break.
I told you, they think you nuts. Because that's what spirit does. It takes you out of this, what we consider normal, what we've seen every day. You know, it doesn't take us into the text that has been written through centuries, be it Chinese, be it African, be it African-American, whatever, the whole metaphysical trip, you know, the Big Bang Theory. It's a lot going on there with source and spirit. So people were, you know, they're confused. I had a friend of mine, family friend of mine, told us that he was picked up by aliens. And I swear to Bob, he was. I believe him. So things happen in this world. Who is your ideal client? Because again, everybody's not ready for this.
I actually somewhat disagree. Not 100% everybody. My ideal client for me is someone that knows that they're on a journey and they're looking to deepen their experience.
And maybe we shouldn't call them clients because, you know, this is not a business transaction.
No.
When you're dealing with the soul and the spirit, it's beyond that because you don't even need all of this superficial stuff, you know, when you really got spirit working for you. So we don't want to call them clients. What would you call the, I don't want to say followers, parishioners, believers?
People that are ready to open up and deepen their connection. And there are people that come to the classes, to the courses that, in my opinion, are very advanced beings and they still find benefit. There are people that are just almost curiosity seekers and they still find, everybody finds a level of benefit to be able to do this. Whether it's like what happened to me, it's not just being taken out of the box. The box gets completely shattered. There is no longer a box. And also the knowledge that there never was a box. That was just an illusion that we live in sometimes.
That we create for ourselves with self-limiting beliefs and the neuro-linguistic language that we speak to ourselves, our vernacular.
Absolutely.
So David, you come from a pretty harrowing childhood as well though.
Let's just say I've been through the ringer. I joke that I received the full quadfecta of violent physical abuse, including almost being beaten to death, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and mental abuse. From the outside, my childhood may have looked okay, but as an undercurrent, it was not. And so that's one of the wonderful things. At this point, not then, but at this point, it's one of the wonderful things that has happened to me because I've been through it, I've walked through it, and I came out the other side and I learned how to take that energy, that wound, and transform it into something that is just wonderful when you let it go.
Because you're an open book, can I ask you another question?
Absolutely.
What do you say to the person that feels that this could be an occult? It could be a form of mind control. I say that with the utmost respect. I'm not trying to be snarky, but I'm trying to open up people's minds that are in a certain lane, I like to say. They only feel that there's only one way to travel. They're not open to spirituality. They're not open to different healing modalities. They're used to their texts. They're used to their rituals. What do you say to someone that really thinks that this is just taking them on a ayahuasca trip? You know, really.
If someone is that closed, then they're closed. What is the expression to those that can hear, and those that can't won't. So I know that the very essence of what I share, what I share with everybody, is just love. And anybody that works with me will tell you of the tenderness and the gentleness and the kindness in any session that I do when I work with somebody. Because I do a lot of trauma assistance work with individuals on a one-on-one basis.
Okay, so this isn't like group there. Well, do you do groups as well?
I have done groups. I'd like to do more. So far, for whatever reason, they haven't been, shall we say, enthusiastically received when I schedule them.
Why do you think that is? Is it because of the intimacy of the work? Because like I said, if you're dealing with someone with deep trauma, that's pretty personal. They don't necessarily want to be in a group setting. Then on the other hand, there might be three or four people that are willing to share in this experience to magnify that energy. Is that possible?
It's very possible. My personal preference would be 50 or more, because then then it really becomes magnified. Because the important thing to remember is that it's not the individual story of our trauma. That's there, yes, but that's not what's really important. What's really important is the energy underneath it that is driving that those thoughts, driving that memory, driving that story. It's tapping into and feeling that energy and feeling it all the way until there's nothing left to feel. And at that point, that's when it can be released and let go of. And we don't just release and let go of our trauma. When that happens, then spirit comes in abundance and fills that space. And it's always filled with love. It's always filled with love.
You're pulling back all the layers. You're bare, naked, you're vulnerable, you're totally exposed. And so now you're building yourself back up. So you're working with individuals, because you can't just leave them out there.
No.
Yeah, they have to continue having some coaching and nurturing. This is revolutionary. This is groundbreaking to an individual that has never walked this journey before. I keep saying, you know, I was all tripped out and you was in the house for 3 months. So this is really, you know, some deep, deep work. And people have to get ready for that. They have to have the support of other people around them that believe in their transformation. Because, you know, outsiders can, you know, they can be Debbie Downers. They can mess up your whole trip.
And family. Don't forget family.
Yeah, family. Yeah, that's why I said the naysayers. And there's going to be naysayers, because they're going to say, wow, you know, you are following this particular text. This individual has had this experience. He's got the Eden template. What the hell does that mean when we're sitting here reading this Bible or this Quran or this, you know, Torah? Where is this at? So you've got that conflictingness. So again, 50 or more, that's a lot. That's a lot of people to work with at one time. How do you cleanse yourself? Now, I mean, I understand you've had your experience, but you have to be a clear conduit, because this is like a drain. You know, people are pouring all of that stuff and it gets clogged in you. You've got to be able to center yourself. What do you do?
It actually doesn't get clogged in me.
Really?
And so here's one of the core things about working with and feeling spiritual energies, is the energies come. They flow into us, but we do not hold on to them. When we hold on to them, that's where we create a belief. That's how a belief comes into existence at that particular moment. But if we don't hold on to them, if we just let them go as they come through, there's always more. There's always more, and it flows through continuously. Okay. And part of that continuous flow of energy that comes through is what keeps us clean energetically. We're not hooking. We don't have any hooks for it to hold on to. And of course, I meditate. Of course, I spend a fair amount of time alone. That's necessary. And just to be still, just to be quiet, and just feel, just to be able to be still and calm.
Right. So now you have a 10-week course of 7 classes, am I correct?
Exactly.
And so I kind of want to have a feel. So when I come there, I'm coming open. I'm coming willing to learn. Is this a, you know, and I know that things are proprietary, but is this, we have a lot of talk therapy. We have a lot of meditation. Is there a text or doctrine that I follow along with so that I have this so I can have this template for myself? Or is this just, I don't understand what I would get when I approach.
So the course is actually now, it's expanded. It's now an 11-week course.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Freedom from the Known. Because if you really want to step outside of the normal boundaries of your life and the way you've always lived, you have to step beyond what you know. So that's why the course is named Freedom from the Known. We do a series of activations and clearing. So the first class is the Eden template, which opens up the energy flowing through your spinal, your spinal column, and then helps you. We also work on rebuilding, building a new light body. And then in the second class, we work on removing fear. We work on removing pain and lack being anything that stands in the way of abundance in the full spectrum of what abundance means, flowing to you. And then we just continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper into consciousness. We open up the heart and dive deeply into the heart. We go into the heart and every single cell in the body and even deeper. The course has kind of expanded quantumly, and that in addition to working with things that we would normally just clear with ourselves, we begin to clear it through our ancestors, because they're still there.
Right.
Our ancestors are always with us.
So when we meet together, is this a sweat lodge? Is this a tree hugging? No, you're laughing. I'm trying to understand. No, I've done a lot of stuff, so I know. I've done the sweat lodge with the Native Americans, and it just takes you to a whole different realm. Okay, so you've got to prepare yourself. You can't just walk in there Joe Schmo off the street. You got to understand the transformation and what you're asking for. You have to be careful what you're asking for. Again, it's not for everybody. So like I said, is it, do you have to prepare yourself, or you just become as an open spirit and get into the groove? Is there chanting? Is there music? I'm trying to see myself there with you in Weed, California.
It's more accurate to say Mount Shasta, California.
Mount Shasta, okay.
I do live in a small subdivision outside of Weed, which is high desert, but the people that come to the courses are from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they're done just like this. They're done via Zoom.
Oh, wow.
And then we make video recordings, and audio recordings are made available after each week's sessions. Sometimes I will preface everything with some discussion about what's going to happen, about what the overall goal of, if you want to think of it as a goal, the overall purpose of the course and what we're going to do. But mostly it's experiential. And then with each course, like after each class, the next week, we begin with everybody discussing what was their experience like, how well did it integrate, did they have any difficulties? And it really helps.
Did they receive any downloads or any, revelations during that too, that they want to discuss with you, I'm sure.
Always.
Do you deal with, and again, everybody's on their own individual quest, but do you deal with families, family kind of setting, husband, wife, kids, young adults? Is there a certain age group or genre? You got to be prepared for this. Everybody's not going to,
There are people from their 30s, there are people from their 80s that have come to the classes. I have one familial group from Portugal, a mother and two daughters, and they have taken this course, which is, again, 11 weeks. They're now finishing their fourth time.
Mm.
They continue to find benefit by attending.
Okay, well, that's absolutely wonderful. Well, David, thank you for really being super cool. I really appreciate that, because I have questions that my brains are gonna wanna know. You've enlightened me. You've turned up my frequency. You've made me very curious. And so I really thank you for, it's a sacrifice in a way. It's a blessing on one hand, it's a sacrifice on another, because now you're responsible for everything that you do, the transmission and the healing of many, many hearts around the world. That's not an easy job. There has been many prophets that have come before, and there will be some that will come after. And people will call them skeptics and charlatans and all of that. They did that to Jesus, Allah, Buddha. They did it to all of them. But there is an awakening, brains, and there is a special feeling when you've been touched. When you've been touched by an angel, believe and trust. There's no misunderstanding.
And you don't get to go back to being who you were before then.
No.
And can I just say, this is not a sacrifice. This is the work that I came here to do. And it's exactly everything that you've described. For those that are meant to work with me, that are guided to work with me, that resonate. Sometimes people come just because they resonate with my voice. When I
know, I'm telling you, I asked him, Brains, if he could sing. That voice is hypnotic.
And what was my response?
He said that he said no, he couldn't. But I told him, you can train that voice because that's beautiful. No. I can hear that with some gongs in the background. Oh, yes. You don't have to sing Figaro. You can sing some beautiful chants. I can see that, David.
I can chant, yes. But I did say I have a voice that only a mother would love.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. But thank you for sharing your voice of wisdom and answering all of the questions and really, you know, being that seeker, being that shifter. We really need that. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, David Maria.
You can go to my website, which is www.theedentemplate.com. And I'm going back to Kenya again this year. I leave in a little over a week and a half now. I'll be gone for a month.
Well, I know you blessed by the spirit, but go ahead and get you your shot, because you know they saying it's all kind of variances. I want you to be able to get back home at least.
I feel very completely protected. So,
all right, that's all that matters.
I get tested regularly just to make sure, and it's not going to be an issue, not at all.
But. And you know what? I tell you what, I'm so spiritual that I've had my come to Jesus meeting. I really have. I had a meeting with him and the board of directors in my head, and I said, you know what? I cannot live my life in a bubble. I'm not going to be afraid. My God didn't give me fear.
No,
that's a choice. That's an option. It's boundaries. Now you have to be safe with it, but you also have to be aware of the fact that you have to forge ahead. And if that is the final turning point for me to be able to transition into glory, I'm not going to go through a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to keep my distance and wear my mask. But again, if it's for you and your numbers call, just like when you were called, just like when I was called, you can't dodge that bullet, baby. There's nothing you can do.
No, when you're called, you're called. That's it.
That's right. Line's not busy. They get right through.
it is time to hear that calling, because this is the time that everybody knows was coming. Well, it doesn't matter what the prophecy, what culture or religion the prophecy is through. Every culture speaks of this time. This is the time when everybody has the opportunity to wake up. And I stress the word opportunity. We can either accept it or not. It's not forced upon us. We have to make a choice to step there. So if the analogy I would use is that someone can lead us to the door, but we have to walk through.
That's right. And thank you for opening the door here with me and my brains on the edge. You have been such a great guest. I really appreciate and value you. Brains, go in and check it out. I'm telling you, it's from another scene. As I said, it's great. It's amazing. Information is power. This is not the same world that it was. And we have no idea of what it is yet to be. So explore your options. Talk to David, ask him more deep dive questions. Go in and research some of the places that he said. Find your own awakening. Find your God. Find your good here on the edge. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, April. It's been such a pleasure to be with you.
Okay. Me and the brains.
Yes, you and the brains. I have enjoyed being in your presence immensely.
Well, thank you so much. All right, Bryce, get it together. Bye.